you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Monday, October 29th, 2018, the last Monday as we close out this month. In fact, it's the last time you're going to hear probably about our October edition of the Prime Life Times, because the November edition arrives in 2 days on Halloween, and we'll be distributing that out in the days ahead and hopefully in many of the locations. It's over 200 now, and so be sure to pick up your copy this Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. We'll probably have them all the way into Indiana by the weekend for sure. But we have our special guest, a content contributor, a good friend, a fellow pilgrim to Israel many times.
It's about 22.
Yeah, 22. Oh, gosh, 22. And just a good friend. We shared the same covenant group, small group, for many years, some years ago. And appreciate Kathleen Jennings. John Jennings, as you may know, serves on our radio board. He's the chairman. In fact, we had a board meeting last Wednesday and covered some of the future of the radio ministry. And then I got to highlight all the different God sightings from the children's choir, and many of the board members didn't know all the unique ways that God fashioned that together in just the past month. And so we had another rehearsal last Thursday night. Some new children joined us. It was so much fun. And these kids, they're going to just melt your hearts when you hear them sing. But we have 7 to 11-year-olds basically from second grade to sixth grade, and a great diversity, Kathleen. It's so neat because we have some African-American children, some Chinese children, some Taiwanese, so I some Asians, and then some American kids. And so they're blending together really good. And I'm excited about it because it's representative of God's kingdom. It's kind of how I wish the singing men were more diversity.
I think you should do a report from the children's choir sometime. Just get your microphone and interview some of the kids, hear some of the a little bit of the singing. That would make a nice program too.
Yeah, that'll probably happen down the road as we get closer to the December concerts. And in fact, Holly, on our first rehearsal, so 2 weeks ago, filmed them singing a portion of a song. And I think it's nearly 900 different people have viewed it. It's the most that I've ever posted.
It's the one that's on Facebook?
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of a fun one. And we'll probably do one when they... I mean, that was the first rehearsal. So a few more rehearsals.
And they sounded pretty good.
Well, this last Thursday, Tina, who's from China, she taught them portions of Silent Night in Mandarin. That's going to be a special thing. So the children will sing some of Silent Night in Mandarin and in English. And so the children were, like, really excited to learn this new language.
Yeah,
and
my granddaughters learn Mandarin because they go to a Chinese Christian school in Chicago. And every once in a while they try to teach me something. So far, so far I know sheshe, which is thank you.
So the board meeting, it was a lot of fun because I got to highlight updates on the children's choir, the singing men, the theater troupe, the conversational English classes, and just the various things that God's doing through the programming and the people involved. And then we had, obviously, this past weekend, church services being filled up by the declaration of God's word being divided and taught. And I always love going to church on Sunday, you know, prepared to receive a message from God through the pastor that's prepared and studied and delivers that message. And it's now a new week, and Marianne wasn't feeling all that great this past weekend, so I said, just take it easy on Monday, and Kathleen will get her in the studio to share, because you've been writing stories now these past... Has it been a year?
It's been a year. The story for November, when the November issue comes out on the 31st, that will mark the 1 year. My first story was for the November issue last year.
Okay, and it's the heading is From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings. And today we're going to have you read for our Great News Radio listeners, Mission Impossible. But first...
No, Mission Possible. Impossible.
Oh, yes. Hollywood is influencing.
Mission Impossible is the TV show.
Yeah, TV show and a series
or whatever,
of movies.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is Mission Possible.
And what a great photograph if you have your October edition of the Prime Life Times. And it's just one of those classic black and white photos from that era. That switchboard in the back, is that considered a computer or is that a switchboard?
Where that's the computer.
Okay,
that's
so that's...
the ENIAC computer. It was the first computer, and it's huge. I mean, if any of you know anything about the Beckman Institute here at the U of I, the first computers that they had there took up entire rooms.
Yeah, right.
And this, of course, was even more. And the picture shows her programming the computer. What she actually did was program computers. She was one of the first computer programmer.
And what's interesting about this photograph, it reminds me of those phone operators where they pull out the plug and
yes,
plug it in, and you'll see some of these plugs way in the back,
yes.
And it's just classic. So we're going to talk a little about this article called Mission Possible, and it's a family member. So this is like John's aunt or something?
This is John's aunt.
Part of the
Betty,
Jennings family.
Betty Jennings Bardick was John's aunt.
Okay.
A younger sister of his father.
Okay, and we'll take you back to 1945. But first, as a tribute to your 22 trips to Israel and for our recently returned group that had a life-changing impact or left impressions on everyone, it was a group of 31 of us that traveled throughout the land. And you've heard Jason recap some of the stories and the God sightings and the things. But this is a song we always love to play when we're entering Jerusalem for the first time. And usually on that last night when we head to the airport, we play it. It's called The Holy City, and it's off of a special CD that you can only get usually on the bus when you're in Israel, but it's called The Holy City, and this is for all of you that have been to Israel, those of you that are contemplating going someday, or those of you that look forward to the new Jerusalem that God will be providing for all of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's The Holy City by John Starnes.
One night while I was sleeping, I had a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing and ever they sang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang.
Well, I just love that song. It's a classic. As I mentioned, many times when we enter into Jerusalem for the first time, when we're on the bus and we're coming over the ridge and you see the city in all its glory, we play that and everyone just sings along. And
that's right. People on the bus usually always join in, especially on the chorus.
Yeah, that Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And then when we leave, it's our last looking back at the city as we head towards the airport. Or for that matter, on our way to the airport, and we usually go for our farewell dinner at Abu Ghosh, we play that song as we leave Jerusalem and head towards that farewell dinner. Well, Kathleen, you've been writing for us for a year, soon to be a year in a couple days.
That's right.
You like the theme, character really does matter. from generation to generation, and many times you've met with and recounted stories from war heroes, those that have served in World War II.
Yes, and family members, because the family members are also important to the veterans. And I have met some really great people in the course of doing these articles. And you begin to understand a little bit about the sacrifices that they make for me, for you, for our families. And anything that I can do to give them honor, I will certainly do, because it's not an easy life.
Yeah, and we're indebted to them.
That's right. It's not an easy life for the veteran, for the man serving at the time, or for his family.
Yeah.
Because he's gone. And women are also serving. They're serving more and more in more places than they ever have before. Now, we talked a little bit about Israel. And, of course, in Israel, the women serve there as well.
Yeah.
In fact, it's obligatory for 2 years. 2 years service for women, and I'm not sure if it's three for men. I think it's a little bit longer.
Yeah, three or three and a half or something like that.
Yeah, for the men, something like that. But they really learn, I think, to love and cherish their country when they do that.
And I appreciate you mentioned it subtly, and I think you even pointed out that it's not just the man or woman that served in the armed forces or served in World War II, but it's that support staff. It's their family members
that
suffered, or behind the scenes, they served in the war effort, if you will.
That's right.
They worked in the factories. They were rationed. They gave of their time or energy. Had an equal role, a different role, but credit to all the families of those that served and the veterans that, you know, sacrificed and gave in a variety of ways. And this individual, this family member, she was working like behind the scenes, helping during this time, during this war effort, with the first introductions of computers and programming.
Well, she was called a computer. That was her first job. She was a computer. And when I first heard that, I had to chuckle. But once I learned her story, I understood it completely. And there were many computers, men and women, that were very important to the war effort. And as I read through the story, you will see why.
Now, this is in Section B. Those of you that have tuned in for some months, I got so excited when we expanded the Prime Lifetimes and went from just Section A with about 12 to 16 pages. Now we're Section B, and we average anywhere from 24 to 32 pages. This October edition was 24 pages. Our November edition is 28 pages. In December, we're already figuring it's going to be a 32-page edition.
So
thank you, God, for all the great content we continue to receive, and those that advertise and help us with the cost so we can offer this free of charge to you and your friends and neighbors. I know some people take it to their small group or share it with their church family or hand it out to relatives or friends or neighbors. In fact, this past month, if you tuned in this last week, Marianne and I were talking about how we've run out in a number of locations, and I was picking up some papers here to deliver them here, and we needed more for Danville, and then the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. They've, I think, been restocked four different times, and the Covington County Market, I think, has been restocked three different times, and the Walmarts locally, we've had to refill them three or four different times. And I guess
I know John has taken papers to the IGA.
Yeah, I gave him
Because they were out.
Muhammad IGA goes through a lot of editions, and so we're pleased to provide this free of charge, and again, thanks to our advertisers, those businesses that see fit to have their service or their unique product advertised and placed in our paper. So we continue to expand and add new locations and add actually editions printed. So the most we've ever printed will be this November edition, and we'll see how that month gets received. But
very good. Well, I know I've talked the other day to a friend that gets the paper through a subscription.
Yes.
essentially what she does is she pays for the mailing.
Yeah, yep, it's $30.
Right.
That's just the breaky. In fact, when we get to 32 pages, it's a little more, the postage a little more, so.
Right.
But right now we'll just keep it at $30, right. And that pays for the postage costs.
And so that's an easy way, because sometimes it isn't easy for her to get out.
Yeah.
To find something, but that way she's assured of always having at least one copy of the paper, and yeah. She usually gets more. But yeah.
And as you know, we're now a 5-time national award-winning
yes,
paper.
Yes.
So
I did hear that.
That's
somewhere
on our front cover of this November edition that'll be out in a few days. But we highlight it and we talk a little about it in the print that we're now a 5-time award-winning national award-winning paper. So
very good.
Excited about that. All right, from generation to generation, character really does matter. A series by Kathleen Jennings, and today's story is entitled Mission Possible.
Yes, in late March 1945, with a loan of $100 from her oldest sister Irma, she boarded the midnight train from her hometown, Stanbury, Missouri, to go to St. Louis. 20-year-old Betty Jean Jennings was on her way to Philadelphia. Betty was on a mission to see something of the world and to have an adventure. Mm. The first phase of her mission, what she once referred to as the first day of the rest of my life, began when she was 16 and enrolled in Northwest Missouri State Teachers College, now known as Northwest Missouri State University, in Maryville, Missouri, not far from Stanbury and the family farm. She'd always been an excellent math student, but Betty's decision to major in math wasn't her first choice. She was concerned that the only job opportunities would be in teaching, and she didn't want to be a teacher, though being a teacher was the advice she kept receiving. Toward the end of her final semester, Betty's calculus teacher assured her there were many options available to her and showed her a recruiting letter issued through a math society soliciting math majors to become computers for Aberdeen Proving Ground in Aberdeen, Maryland, on a project to be located at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Now, you might have noticed that Betty and I share the same last name, Jennings. Betty was born with hers, the 6th of 7 children of William and Lula Jennings. I received mine when I married her nephew, John. I had heard the stories of her accomplishments. I had also observed her love for her family and theirs for her. So learning of the support they gave each other over the years came as no surprise. What did impress me, however, was her determination to follow her dreams at a time of peril and uncertainty. Betty arrived in Philadelphia on March 30th, 1945, after changing trains in St. Louis and traveling across southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. After she arrived at the university and passed a required physical exam, she was hired as a computer. Given an electric hand calculator and taught to calculate trajectories for large guns. Less than 2 weeks after her arrival, on April 12, 1945, President Franklin D. Roosevelt died. On May 7, 1945, Germany surrendered, but the war in the Pacific was still raging. Two of her brothers, Bob and Raymond, John's father, were in the Navy, as was her sister Lou's husband, Harold. Sister Irma's husband, Forrest, was in the Army Infantry. Her eldest brother, Bill, with a family of his own, farmed nearby, and her younger sister, Khaki, or Kathleen, still lived at home. Still calculating trajectories, Betty was pleasantly surprised when, in June, a new opportunity presented itself. Computers were told that the Aberdeen Proving Ground was looking for math majors to work on a new machine being built, the Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, or ENIAC. Betty interviewed and through a series of events became one of the main programmers for the historic project. Phase two of her mission had begun. While training in Aberdeen, Maryland for her work with ENIAC, Betty managed to save enough money to repay the $400 loan from her Aunt Gretchen for her first 2 years of college.
Yep, everyone, you heard that right. $400 for 2 years
of
college.
That's right.
Of course, back in 1945-ish. Right.
It was also here that deep friendships were established among the ENIAC programmers. After Betty returned to Philadelphia and met ENIAC inventors John Mockley and later Press Eckert, she would begin work in earnest to program the large machine to compute trajectories. In the meantime, Japan agreed to an unconditional surrender on August 14, 1945, after the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A Japanese delegation signed the formal surrender on September 2, 1945, aboard the battleship Missouri. The war was over, and the devastation enormous, but the work must continue. And so it did. It soon became apparent that ENIAC was a parallel machine, one that could perform several operations concurrently. In the months that followed, ENIAC would more than prove itself as the first electronic computer, and that success would lead to Betty's work on the BINAC and UNIVAC computers. Unfortunately, many times, especially after her work on ENIAC ended, Betty and the other women programmers experienced the frustrations of being ignored or demeaned by the controlling male-dominated computing world. Many viewed the women programmers in early photographs simply as models standing beside the computers to promote their sale. In 1951, Betty left the computer industry to devote time to her marriage to Bill Bartik and later to her three children, Tim, Jane, and Mary. Unfortunately, their marriage failed, and they divorced in 1968. Betty, who after her marriage had become known as Jean Jennings Bartik, returned to the computer field and was active there until November of 1985. Recognition of the crucial role the six women programmers played in the development of ENIAC was slow to come, but it finally did arrive. Jean Jennings Bartik and Kay McNulty Mockley Antonelli, in particular, were called on to speak at many computing recognition events. In early 2002, we met Aunt Betty and Cousin Jane in New York City for dinner and a concert at Carnegie Hall featuring our daughter-in-law.
Oh, I know her.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
That was her Carnegie Hall debut.
Wow.
Betty commented that she personally had no music talent and was happy to meet a Jennings who did. Later that year, John and I were honored with an invitation to the opening of the Jean Jennings Bartik Computing Museum at Northwest Missouri State University.
So no mention of Jory by name? She's at the Moody Bible Institute.
Yes, she is.
Very gifted.
Yes, she is. The museum honors women computing pioneers. In March 2011, we would return to the museum for a celebration of life service for Aunt Betty. In 2003, Aunt Betty sent us Christmas greetings via email. After telling us about working on her book, she wrote that she considered being a finisher one of her biggest assets. Her son Tim echoed that assessment when he wrote me some weeks ago. He added that she believed she had learned how to be a finisher growing up on the farm. Tim believes his mother was able to play this minor role in history because she was willing to take risks and seek adventure. Her determination to follow her dreams helped her overcome barriers and play a part in changing the world. Now, in 2013, Truman State University Press published Pioneer Programmer, Jean Jennings Bartik and the Computer That Changed the World, the Jean Jennings biography, edited by John T. Rickman and Kim D. Dodd.
Kathleen Jennings, who currently lives in Mahomet, Illinois, is a watercolor artist who loves history and researching personal stories of World War II. You can contact her at Kathleen at WatchmenOnTheWall.com. Oh, very nice. Wow. You think back, the generations that have been born the last couple, 20 or so years, have no idea that computers are relatively recent, from the 40s, 50s, when they started really firing up and being
used.
And what a profound impact they've had on this world. Wow, so Jennings was involved in those early days.
Yes, well, it was amazing, some of her things that she found out, the things that she did. Just looking at some of the pictures in her book, and you see how huge the machines were, and no one had ever programmed them before. I mean, if you put me down in front of a computer, and I have a list of directions right beside me, I sometimes have trouble getting it to do what I want to do. I can't imagine all of that went in figuring it all out and doing it in a consistent way so that other people could then follow in her footsteps and do that. It's amazing, amazing to me.
Read all about it in the October edition of the Prime Life Times, also online at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, or submit a request for a subscription, and for $30 we'll send you the copy as soon as it's off the press to your home or wherever you want it mailed at the first of each month, and our November edition will be out in a few days, so now would be a great time if you want it delivered to your home to call in 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, and we got to go, we're out of time, but
already,
we appreciate you tuning in for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.